I almost did today. I thought to myself, if there's ever a time I should preach without notes, maybe it should be this time. And I didn't make any notes. And then finally, yesterday, I sat down. I thought I better make some notes, because if I don't, I may only get halfway through and the time will be all gone, and that wouldn't be too good. And notes are kind of good to have in front of you. And so when John asked me to speak back in January, you know, March seemed like a long way off. But here it is. And it's so different now, just getting to preach every few months, or maybe only once a year or something like that, after, you know, spending close to 30 years preaching, you know, once a week or twice a week. It gives you a lot more time to think about what you're going to say than when you have to preach every week, or you have to preach twice in a week. You just have to sort of, you know, get it all together and do it, and then you got to start again the next week. But, you know, I've had a few months to think about what I'm going to say today, so it should be better than average, right? And some of you have been praying for me, right? Thank you. Okay, and some of you are going to help support me along the way by encouraging me and saying amen, or you can say preach it, brother, or something like that, whatever you like to say. And in honor of Don Hill, I'm going to tell you a joke this morning. When I was a pastor and I was getting paid to do this, and I'm not getting paid this morning, you know, I couldn't tell jokes in my sermon because that would be very risky. But now that I'm just doing this as a volunteer and only doing it now and then, I want to include a joke, because Don, who I have the joy with meeting with most Wednesday mornings, and he's here as a guest today, tells a lot of wonderful jokes and really gets us smiling and helps to just loosen us up. And I'm going to loosen you up a little bit this morning with apologies to Jared. I heard about a man who was traveling through the United States, and he was visiting beautiful churches. And on several of the churches, he saw this gold phone at the back of the church. And it said, direct line to heaven, $10,000. And he thought, wow. And he kept traveling. He saw a few more of these. And then he was up in Michigan, and he decided to cross over into Canada. And after an hour wait or so at the border, you know, he got out here. And he started visiting beautiful churches in Canada. And amazingly, he came to a church that had one of these gold phones at the back. And the sign, direct line to heaven, 50 cents. And he thought, wow. And he spoke to one of the people. He said, I've been visiting in the States, and everywhere I go, the gold phones are $10,000. Direct line to heaven. And I come to Canada, I see the phone, and it's 50 cents. And the person says, well, that's easy to understand. It's a local call here, eh? And we're really blessed to be in Canada, right, Bob? Right. You're blessed to be in Canada, right, John? It's a wonderful country. And, you know, I was born here. Unfortunately, my grandchildren are all in the United States, having to pay that $10,000 for their direct line to heaven. But John does these jokes, too. And John, I've noticed that they don't have to be related to the sermon, right? And John teaches pastors, you know, what to do and how to preach and all that kind of stuff. So I felt I was safe telling a joke. It has nothing to do with the sermon. But it was funny. It kind of loosens things up. Now, when John called me back in January, it didn't take me long to decide what to talk about. My oldest daughter, Amy, had given me a Christmas present. It was a John MacArthur scripture memory system. Now, I've never been a big fan of John MacArthur, but I opened the gift, I took the gift, and I decided, you know, memorizing the Bible's good. So January the 1st, it was a one-year program. I decided I'll do this, hopefully, in 2010. So it came with little cards, 26 of them, a verse on each side. And it came with a CD that you can listen to in your car, where you can listen to the verse and then they explain it, which is really nice for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of explanation about the verse. What do we have up here? Oh, yeah, we have Psalm 103, 1 to 4. Something worth fighting for, which is what John's been talking about for 4 weeks. And I decided I would continue on this theme. And we're going to fight today for God's reputation. Sorry about this cold I have. God's reputation is very, very important. So the first verse on my little card first week of January that I had to memorize. And I'm sorry, they're not just one verse. Sometimes they're 4 and 5 and 6 verses. You know, it's a passage, this time 4 verses, with Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. And I'd been thinking about it, I'd been memorizing it, meditating on it, and John called, and it didn't take me long to realize this is a wonderful passage to preach on, a wonderful passage to share from God's truth. And it's been such a blessing doing this memorizing. Now, as well as preaching a sermon, I usually like to give you some hints on how to grow in Christ, right? Last time I preached was back in October. You all remember that. If you don't remember, you can go on the internet, dial it up under sermons, archived at villagegreenvgchurch.org, and you can listen to it again, or if you missed it. But I talked to you about the importance of reading the Bible, you know, praying, but especially reading the Bible, God talking to us. And today I want to just put a little plug in for memorizing. And I have a plan I think I'm going to follow. I haven't told Janet this yet, but I think starting next year, after I finish these 52 passages in 2010, Lord willing. And isn't it neat that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Isn't that amazing? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, even memorizing. Even at age 63 with white hair, you can do it. So I think next year what I'm going to do, and maybe some of you would like to join me, I think I'm going to start a little plan. Well, it's going to be a lot of work, but of memorizing a verse in every chapter of the Bible. What do you think, John? 1,188 verses. And if I do one a week, that's not a good idea. I'd be very old. If I do one a day, it's only one verse, I'd be done by age 67. So that wouldn't be too bad. 3 years, 3 months. I already know the first one, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. You guys, most of you know that one. See, we're already partway there. When we get to Psalm 23, it won't be too bad. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? So we got that one done too. We're almost a little ways along. Leviticus 17 might be a little harder. But Luke 17 will be very easy, right? Hey, Marjorie, Luke 17, verse 32. Remember that one? Remember Lot's wife. That's not very long, is it? When I was in Bible college first year and had a speech class, when Amy was either, I can't remember if she was just a baby or if Janet was still carrying Amy around in her first year of college, but I was so, so nervous about speaking in front of people. And we had to, one of our first assignments was we had to memorize one verse, walk up to the front of the class and say the verse. So the really scared people took Jesus wept. I was very brave. I took Remember Lot's Wife. And I got up to the front of the class. I got up there and I was nervous. And I held on and I said, Luke 17:32, Remember Lot's Wife. And I sat down. Passed the assignment. So we're already set there. We've got 3 of the verses done already. But I'm thinking, and I'd love some of you to join me, maybe next year, January the 1st, 2011, it'll be my 65th year. I'm going to start, Lord willing, maybe to memorize one verse for every chapter of the Bible. Maybe not in order. I haven't quite decided that yet. But I think it'd be wonderful, don't you? Don't you think it'd be good to know a verse in every chapter of the Bible? Amen. Amen. So let's think about that. That's just a little, that's nothing to do with the sermon. I got to keep moving now a little. We'll get on to the sermon here. But partly because I'm preaching from this passage because it's so wonderful, but also because, as I say, it was part of this memory package that I received for Christmas. And it was in the New King James Version. So here it is. Okay, yeah, the New King James Version. It just happens to be what Mr. MacArthur selected, so I had to use that. And some people, I was really interested as I was doing my research, some people suggest that the first 2 verses here are the center of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Now, I know some of you think, oh, no, it can't be that. It's something else. And some people suggest something else. But usually most people agree there's an even number of verses in the Bible, 31,000. So I didn't have time to count to make sure, but they think these first 2 verses, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, so wonderful. Blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That may be those may be the center 2 verses of the Bible. And if that's the case, it's probably even more important to know them well. Because God probably was very careful with what he put in the very center of the Bible. Something worth fighting for, God's reputation. Verse goes on to say four things. So I got 4 points this morning. Usually just have three, but today we got four. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Aren't those precious words? Precious words. And I'm so thankful today this is being recorded. This is only the second time I've ever preached with one of these little lapel mics, and I feel a little nervous about that, but hopefully I'm going to do okay. And people, Janet's cousins in Australia will be able to listen on the internet. Her sister in New Zealand will be able to listen. Our niece in Romania will be able to listen. Our other niece in Ukraine will be able to listen. Our nephew in Peru will be able to listen. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
It's amazing. And John wonders why I make an announcement about preaching and get excited. I mean, it's amazing. Now, I preached for 30 years before having, and as a pastor, never had the privilege of it being recorded and put on the internet. Kermit Zarley, the professional golfer who lives down in the Phoenix area, who was somewhat instrumental and helpful in my conversion, will be able to listen. I'll be able to send him a little email and say, just go to this website, click on, and you can see some of the fruit of your testimony of sharing the Gospel of John with me back in 1970. And you can tell your friends you were at Village Green Church and it's worth dialing in and listening to what Dale had to say. I hope you'll say that in a few minutes. Because it's on the internet, I had to write a little summary. John said, you got to write a couple of sentences. What can we put on the website to say what it's about? So here's what I wrote. The psalmist, and that's David in this case, encourages us to speak to our soul about the need of praising the Lord enthusiastically with our lives as we remember God's many benefits to us. Our lives need to represent praise and thanks to God well, so we help God's reputation to be good. It's sad sometimes that Christians live in a way that doesn't really help God's reputation. One of my goals is to try to live in a way that will help God's reputation. That when people see Dale and they see how Dale's living and what Dale's doing, they'll say, what a great God. Now, maybe I should have said Jesus instead of God, because most people are more comfortable with just saying God than if I'd have said, you know, to represent praise and thanks to Jesus well so that we help Jesus' reputation to be good. Because we believe, of course, Jesus is God. And we need to help Jesus to have a good reputation. Sometimes God's reputation isn't so bad, but for some people, Jesus' reputation isn't so good. So we got to work together on both those things. David was speaking, of course, in this Old Testament context of Jehovah God, the Lord, the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of every good gift. But we need to work hard to be sure for people to see Jesus as God, too, when we're working on God's reputation. It's so important. And you may wonder, why do people have a bad view of God's reputation? And I think probably I'm guilty of this sometimes. I have the wrong view and understanding of God. It's so important how we understand God so that his reputation is blackened. One author I looked up said, some see God as the deal maker. And you're always sort of trying to bargain with him. That's not right. Some see God as the angry one. How do you get close to a God who's angry all the time at you? That's not right. Or he's the busy, far-off one. He doesn't really care. No, that's not right. Or some see God as the demanding one, always wanting more from us, no matter how much we do. That's not right either. And I'm believing this morning and praying and hoping that as we look at this passage, as we look at these wonderful 4 points about God, And as we remember all His benefits, and we understand His benefits better, I hope, from something I'll say. My goal is to try and explain it to you somewhat better, and with John MacArthur's help, because I have some notes from his CD, that we can help God's reputation to be better in the world, because that's what it's all about. John MacArthur says on his CD, as he starts it, he says, "Do you ever talk to yourself?" He says, "What do you say to yourself?" And he says, "How about saying this? Say, 'Soul, bless the Lord.'" He said, "It's a great habit to get into. Train your soul to bless or praise the Lord." And this morning, I would agree with what Mr. MacArthur says, that we need to talk to ourselves. Telling ourselves to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to honor the Lord, to lift up His holy name. And to do it with everything that is in us, with great enthusiasm. We need to train our soul to bless God. When we're in tough times or when we're in good times. Especially in tough times, don't wait for someone to come and tell you to bless God. Don't wait for the pastor to visit or one of the elders or a friend to come. But keep blessing God no matter how tough it gets. Remember His benefits. And do it enthusiastically. The psalmist says, "All that is within me, bless His holy name." So this morning I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to myself. I need to be more enthusiastic sometimes in my praise of God, in my blessing of God. And I had warned Paul that I was going to talk about motorcycles this morning. I like talking about people when I'm preaching and involving people. And Krista isn't here. Krista and Ralph are suffering down in the Dominican today. But Krista gets pretty excited about her pet dog, right? And walking her dog, taking pictures of dogs and posting them up there. And there's all sorts of different things that get us excited. You know, for Paul, there's probably a number of things, but one of them I know is the motorcycle thing. Getting his sport bike out there in the road, and especially if it's a windy, twisty road or in the hills, and just going about as fast as the legal limit will allow him. Hopefully that's as fast as he goes. And really experiencing the joy and the thrill of all that. For others, I got thinking, I missed the bake-off, the men's bake-off at Valentine's this year. But for some of you, desserts will get you pretty excited. For some of you, any kind of food will get you excited. You're enthusiastic about eating. I don't know, is Bruce here today? I haven't seen Bruce yet. Is Bruce, are you hiding somewhere? No, I guess Bruce didn't make it. But my friend Bruce gets kind of excited when he finds a little car that isn't in his collection of about 4,000 cars. You know, he has an amazing collection. And if he finds one that he doesn't have, that's pretty exciting. I get kind of enthusiastic about golf sometimes. And chasing that little white ball around and trying to get it into that small hole in the least number of strokes possible. To me, that's pretty exciting. And I get enthusiastic about that. Cheryl gets exciting about her paintings. Who else do I have written down here? Janet, my dear wife. She gets exciting when the weather's nice for gardening. Or with her sewing. Or a great old movie. Can you imagine if a movie comes on you haven't seen for a long, long time? And it's in black and white, maybe? Wouldn't that be exciting? And it's right there, and you just have to turn on the TV and sit down and enjoy it. Some of you salespeople, there's some people that sell things here. You get really excited when you sell something. You've been trying to sell for a long time. But I want to suggest to you this morning that all these hobbies are good, and I was glad a while back that in one of John's sermons, I think it's about 5 or 6 weeks ago, he talked about the measure of our hearts, if I remember correctly. And he made it clear that it wasn't the amount of time, and it wasn't our amount of we read the Bible or the amount that we pray that is the measure of our excitement and our enthusiasm and our relationship with God. But it had to do with Christ-likeness, if I remember correctly. And so while you may spend a lot of time on a hobby, and some may think you're spending too much time on that hobby and too much enthusiasm in that, too much time at work, whatever, time isn't always the measurement. It can be a factor sometimes. Some of you like camping, hiking, tree hugging, video games. I should talk to the young people a little bit. We have a few young people here today. Some of you like video games, I guess. I've never been into video games, sorry. But some of you go wild over a new video game. And that's okay. It's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have fun and to spend time on some of these things. But the main thing it says here is talk to yourself saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Be enthusiastic for God. And David tells us how to do this. He says, forget not all His benefits. Now, those of us who work, and I still do a little bit of work, we're always really happy if we get a job that has really good benefits. You know, a good health plan, good dental plan, good retirement plan, lots of statutory holidays, big holidays, you get time off when you want time off. You know, wonderful benefits on a job. And I'm here to tell you today that God gives great benefits. Amen? Amen. It's amazing. His benefits are just amazing. Wow. I've had over 38 years now of enjoying His benefits. And they are amazing. Yesterday, I read a little something that said, enjoy the little things, for one day you may look back and realize that they were big things. And we tend to get really off on big things and big benefits. And sometimes don't pay enough attention to the little things. But as we get older, many of us look back and realize that a lot of these little things really were big things. And for God, too, a lot of the little benefits that He gives us really are big benefits. And when we enthusiastically praise and thank God for His benefits to people around us and let it show on our face, right? Let it show on your face, then we're helping God's reputation. So now I got to get to the meat of the message. Whoa, it's going to be tempting here. 4 points. One, first one David encourages us to focus on is, who forgives all your iniquities. Iniquities are just a big word for sins, right? For our sins. Nobody shouted hallelujah?
Preach it, brother.
Yeah, nobody said amen.
He
forgives all your iniquities. Did you hear that? Yeah. Julie, you heard that, eh? Yeah. That's pretty amazing. All your iniquities. That should get us excited. We tend to, maybe when we're first Christians, that's kind of exciting. But after a while, we tend sometimes just to forget that. But that should bring wonderful joy to our lives, to realize that when we are Christians, when we've really believed in Jesus, when we've really understood that we are sinners forgiven by the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and our faith and trust in that, and we really are forgiven, we should let the Lord know and praise Him and thank Him. I love the songs about the cross. Oh, look at the amazing cross. And singing the songs about what Jesus did for us. But we can't just be praising Him enthusiastically when we're singing. It needs to be 7 days a week, all the time. And I hope all of you here this morning really, really understand that He forgives all your iniquities as you trust in Him. And you can say with me this morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything that is within me, bless His holy name. That you truly understand your salvation, your forgiveness. And having believed and being forgiven, you are worshiping and praising Him day by day. And then it says, secondly, who heals all your diseases. That's where it gets a little more difficult. Who heals all your diseases. In the Bible, we read the Lord saying, I am the Lord who heals you. I carry oil around in my pocket almost all the time. And I believe in anointing people with oil. It's just regular oil, nothing special, didn't come from Israel or anything. But it's oil. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the power of God. And I will take it sometimes and I will anoint people with it. And I will pray and ask the Lord to heal them. Because I believe that the Lord heals. Amen? The Lord heals. Now this benefit is a little more difficult to understand than the first one. John MacArthur says he heals all our diseases, not necessarily in time, but in eternity. He says there's no sickness in heaven, absolute perfection in heaven. We're free from all sickness and death. And I agree, and I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, that there'll be no sickness, no disease in heaven. The lame will walk in heaven, amen? The deaf will hear, the blind will see. There'll be no sickness in heaven, I believe that. And that's wonderful. No disease. Heaven will be a wonderful place. And I want to bless the Lord with all that is within me and praise His holy name because He heals all our diseases in eternity for sure. I believe that. But I think there's more to this. I really believe there is. I think David has more in mind than just heaven and just the fact that all of our sicknesses will be healed in heaven. And I believe that we should enthusiastically bless and praise the Lord whenever we are healed from sickness. Now maybe Dr. Ted had a part in it or some other doctor. Maybe some medicine helped to heal us. But maybe surgery, whatever. But I believe behind every work of the doctor, behind every medicine is God. God is the one who heals. Even He uses doctors, He uses medicine sometimes. Sometimes He intervenes miraculously. I believe that. And every healing that takes place, and we're not talking about heaven now, but we're talking about on this earth, every healing that takes place, we should see it as a benefit from God. Doesn't that make sense? I think that's pretty simple, but not everybody would agree with me. But I think that David had in mind that we should really be thankful when we're feeling better. I'm going to be really thankful when this cold is over. I'm thankful, and maybe the Lord did this just to help me with the sermon, but I'm thankful that my kidney stone pain from a couple of weeks is over. It's gone. I'm so thankful for that. And that's the kind of thing we need to praise God for. Praise God. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. But thank Him that He's given us these wonderful bodies. And that sometimes, often, most of us, most of the time when we're sick, we get better. Most of the time. And we should thank God and praise Him for that. And then thirdly, this wonderful truth that says, there it is, right up there, who redeems your life from destruction. I'm not making these things up. They're right there. They're in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? He redeems your life from destruction. How many of you were heading for destruction at one time? Show me. Come on. How many of you? Ernest mentioned today about teenagers who have no hope for living and who unfortunately are taking their own lives and they just feel like they're heading for destruction. And because of that attitude, they are heading for destruction if they take their own lives, of course. And it's horrible. But I know as a young man, I was heading for destruction. In my early 20s, I won't give you all the details, but I was heading for destruction. And God redeemed my life from destruction. King David could certainly understand this. He'd made some bad choices in life. All of us have made bad choices in life. Some much worse than others. But David had committed adultery, we know, with Bathsheba, and he'd arranged the murder of her husband. And yet, as he turned to God, his life was redeemed. And he could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless and praise His holy name. He has redeemed my life from destruction. And I hope you have a sense of that this morning, every one of you, that God has redeemed your life from destruction. That you were heading downhill, you were heading into all sorts of trouble. But you turned to God, and when you did, God didn't disappoint you. God's a gentleman. When we ask Him for things, He gives them to us. He loves to help us. And we just have to ask Him. We have to humble ourselves and we have to say, Lord, we're heading for destruction. Help us, save us, turn our lives around. He did that for David. He did that for me, and he can do it for you if he hasn't already done it. But most of you can say he's done it. Amen. You can say that he's done it for you. He's redeemed your life from destruction. And so what should you be doing if that's the case? Praising him enthusiastically. Let your face know. Let your friends know. Let the world know. Let your light shine brightly because he has redeemed your life from destruction. I brought with me a little book this morning. I just got this on Wednesday at our men's group with Don. Real Stories, Real People in Your Neighborhood. Published by Open Door Christian, whatever it's called, downtown, Howard Katz's church. Beautiful. A dozen stories of people that go to, I think they all go to Open Door, maybe some of them go to King Street Congregational, but churches in that downtown area, dare we say, east of Adelaide? Yes, they're east of Adelaide, those churches. And they're people right on that core area in Dundas. And they're people going to church whose lives were redeemed from destruction. And they've written their little stories in here. How does Howard put it? He says, we haven't cleaned these stories up. He says, these stories have not been sanitized or watered down. They have simply shared their life experiences. One says, as a teenager, I struggled emotionally. I rejected my loving parents and became rude. None of you became rude, right? None of you were rude teenagers, right? None of you are rude teenagers, right? I was kind of rude at times. As early as my grade 3 report card, it said, Dale doesn't mean to be rude. Can you imagine? Rebellious. None of you were rebellious, heading for destruction. Cocky. I drank, I smoked. This is the book now. I drank, I smoked, I entered into an unhealthy relationship. Made lots of bad choices. I struggled with bulimia. I struggled with depression, with anxiety. When I was 17, I covered my windows with black garbage bags. Gave up all hope and even tried to end my life. But now this person tells of the difference that Jesus has made. And this person is going to church east of Adelaide and believing in Jesus and worshiping Jesus and enthusiastically saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless and praise his holy name. And it's made a difference for those people. It's made a difference for lots of you, and we just need to let the world know. Or if some of you haven't yet made that change and you haven't yet understood that you're on your way to destruction, you need to think about it. And you need to change. You need to turn to Jesus and let him save you from destruction. I'm tempted to tell more of my story, but the time doesn't allow. But I'm so glad that God redeemed my life from destruction. So wonderful. He's a wonderful redeemer. And then lastly, the fourth point says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I knew I wasn't going to have much time left by the time I got to this point. But isn't it great to know God is loving kindness and tender mercies to us? So merciful, so patient, so caring. He's the God of all comfort, the Bible tells us. He gives us hope when we lose hope. He gives us joy in the midst of sorrow. He gives us strength when we are weak. He sends a friend when we're lonely. There's no one like our God. None, right? None like our God. Is there anybody that has as much tender mercy and loving kindness to you as God? Nobody. He's the one. And so how should we react to him? We should love him, praise him with everything that is in us. I better stop. But never forget these benefits, friends. David says to us, remember, 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 and then bless the Lord. Help his reputation to be great because you've experienced these things. You've experienced the forgiveness of your iniquities, the healing of your diseases, your life redeemed from destruction. And right now, still, you're enjoying his loving kindness, his tender mercies. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your amazing scriptures. Lord, help us to obey. Help us, O God, to hear what you would say to each of us this morning about putting into practice this truth. Help us, Lord, to bless you with all that is in us. Forgive us today, Lord, for times that we have not had the enthusiasm, not had the excitement we should have had about you. For you are worthy, O God. You are so amazing, so wonderful. We thank and bless your holy name. We pray, dear God, that you would make us different people for having been here this morning. Strengthen us in our faith. Or, Lord, where there is no faith, we pray that in the name of Jesus you might create new faith in people's lives. Lord, I offer special prayer for the teenagers here this morning, some of whom maybe feel that their life is just headed for destruction. I pray, dear Jesus, that they would just throw themselves on you, and I know you will not disappoint them. You will bless them and help them through these difficult years. Lord, what we pray for we who are here, again, we pray for some of the teenagers in Colombia where Jacob is working. We pray, Almighty God, that they might hear from you and might turn from the life that is leading to destruction and might experience your love in a precious, powerful way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.